we had a celebration of life service here. This place was packed. So I pray in Jesus' name that everybody was here, that the Lord would continue to draw them. Because the gentleman who did the message, he gave the gospel message. It was wonderful. So it was Kitty Corner right here. His name is Bill Kelly. Some people just knew him as Kelly, but he's been out there for 30 years, just right out there. So wonderful group, wonderful family. It just was very inspiring just to see a bunch of people who aren't going to a local church. And we need to remember that just because people aren't fellowshipping here, this town is filled with good Christian people. This was a wonderful, close-knit Christian family. So they left like three huge trays of sandwiches. So we're going to have lunch on them. They look beautiful. They absolutely look gorgeous. So after service today, we will have lunch, not just cookies. Not that just the cookies are bad, but we will have their sandwiches this morning. So this morning, I'm going to share on the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And I do have a couple of things that I want to pull out, a couple of props. I really am a firm believer that the average Christian does not know the power that they have packed in them, what God has given each of us. If we have accepted the Holy Spirit, if we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, He's given us the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. That's the power. So I did an illustration like 2 weeks ago, and I'd like to have the ladies come up and take your positions. Somebody said, why are you doing that again? Well, the reason why is because this is the enemy's number one trick for all of us, is that we walk in our soul. We don't walk in the spirit. We are called as Christians to walk in our spirit, not in our soul realm. So let's pray. Father, we do pray that we would capture your heart. Lord, that we would allow your Holy Spirit to minister to us. Father, that you would allow us to grasp a hold of what you're speaking. Lord, your word, that your word would come alive in our hearts. And Lord, that the enemy would not rob it. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that gives us power to walk in the Spirit. Lord, that you have a plan for each one of our lives. And we know that we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers in high places. And Lord, you have given us the Comforter. You have given us the Holy Spirit so that we can fight the battle. Lord, open up our eyes in Jesus' name. Amen. This represents one person. God is a triune being, and I'm going to kind of review it kind of quickly. God is a triune being. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're a triune being. We have three parts, just like the Father. We have our body, our soul, and our spirit. Our body is, as you get older, it gets the aches and the pains. I told somebody I've had a lot of injuries, and all my injuries, I pray they go away, are like catching up with me as I get older. You know, all the things that happened to me when I was younger, all those aches and pains are there. But our body doesn't give us our identity. It really doesn't. Sometimes we think that that's our identity, but it really doesn't give us our identity. Some people let their body rule their life, but we're to walk in the spirit. We're not supposed to walk according to our body. And so our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, that's the thing that usually it starts in our mind. We think of something, and then we'll soon act on it and do something. Our mind is our worst enemy. Even when I'm praying for somebody, I have to physically say, Lord, get out of my mind away from what I know. Because I want to pray for my spirit. I don't want to pray for my mind. And there's a difference. So remember, this is one person. Our body is ruled by five senses. What we see, what we smell, what we taste, what we say. What we hear, and what we feel. And all these things is our flesh. Both these things are our flesh, and they can rule us and put us into bondage. If you're struggling with a sin, it's happening here. The Lord gave us our spirit to help us come out of this so we're not ruled by our soul or our body. Our soul determines what we're going to do. It really does, because if we first think about something, then we will usually say something or do something. So it starts in the mind. Our spirit is where we commune from God. This is where we're supposed to pray from. You know, and how do you explain your spirit? Again, it's when you're all alone or when you're a group and you're worshiping, you can feel something happening. That's your spirit. It's very, 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 very powerful. Our flesh, again, fights with our spirit. And we're not called to be slaves to sin, but we're supposed to be overcomers. We can't be overcomers if we're a slave to sin. We're not overcomers. The Word says we're overcomers. The Word says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. That's wrong if you're not using the gift He's given you, the Holy Spirit. You cannot do a darn thing on your own. I can't do anything on my own. Without the Spirit, we can't do anything. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in us that gets us to walk away from sin, that gets us to cast down every vain imagination that's in our mind. We cast it down. But unless we really know this, we keep on being ruled by this. Righteousness and holiness is not perfecting this. We'll never perfect this. Our soul, we will deal with this until we go to be with the Lord. But it is walking in the Spirit. But we will never perfect it. This is supposed to be crucified. It's not I that walk anymore, but Christ in me. And if we don't crucify the flesh, we're stuck. And again, it all starts in the mind, and we have to choose to agree to listen to the Spirit. It's kind of like when you know you're supposed to do something right. You know you're supposed to do something right. But over here says, come on, this is more fun. And your spirit goes, no, don't do that. But over here says, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. And your body says, yeah, it's going to make me feel good. But we have to go back to listen to the Holy Spirit, because if you're walking here, you're going to accomplish nothing. You're going to go around in circles all the days of your life, forever.
It's like Younger Sisters.
Yeah. That's funny. So, again, our body and our soul says, I want, I want, I want. The Spirit says, remember what, let's see, you Wednesday students, Luke 9:23, if anyone would follow after me, this is Jesus speaking, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow after him. You're not, or I'm not, following him if we're walking here. You're only following after Christ if you're here. And again, if we don't stay connected to the vine, and this is how we stay connected to the vine, through the Spirit. We can't stay connected to the vine through our soul. We can't stay connected to the vine through our body. If this is in order, and I'm going to have you guys switch.
That's how it's supposed to be.
This is power. This is power. When your spirit is leading your soul and your body, this is what we're called to do. And this is why the church, universal, not this church, but the church, universal, is a sleeping giant. When the church, universal, figures out this, we're going to be powerful. The Holy Spirit's going to be able to move on us. We're going to be able to bring in the final harvest. But until we walk like this, this is walking in the Spirit. So your soul says, gee, I don't want to talk. I know, God, you've given me something to say. But I don't want to get up in front of a bunch of people and talk. You know? I've got a bad memory. But the Spirit's saying, God's given it. God's given it to you.
Do
it. He is. He's given you this message. It's on fire. Give it out to people so that they can understand. But if we listen to this or this, nowhere. But if we listen to here, it's by the Spirit. So if we listen to the fear, it's not an emotional problem.
Boo.
You know what it is? It's a bad thinking problem. It's a bad thinking problem. It's not the same. Many times psychologists will say you have an emotional problem. But really what it is, it's a thinking problem. So we have to be careful what gets inside of our mind. So Jesus, because it's all about the Lord, he is the vine, we are the branches. If we don't stay connected to him, and this is how we stay connected to him. There's been times I've been so upset, I've been so hurt and wounded by people. But I know the Holy Spirit is saying, forgive. How do we do that? Not by listening to these two guys. Because these two guys will keep you into bondage, bitterness. But when we listen to the Spirit says, by my Spirit, you are an overcomer. By my Spirit, you can hear what I'm saying to you. By my Spirit, you are powerful. So, and we're free of bondage.
Yep.
Ladies, sit down. Let me take your cards from you. Thank you. Do we got my, plus I'm going to turn this on. So today, we're going to continue on the Holy Spirit. That is where the Lord is taking the church universally, to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't bring in the final harvest and do the work of service that God's called us to do. So, we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Because sometimes we can look at other people and say, wow, they're powerful. You know, you can look at somebody like Billy Graham and you can say, man, that guy's walked in power his whole life. His whole life. But see, the whole plan is that the power of the Holy Spirit in you, in each one of us. That's what God's called us to do. I have my, one of these days I'm not going to work with notes. So, expository teaching. Dave takes us through expository teaching. I love expository teaching. I have a hard time doing topical teaching because I love the Word of God so much. I take you on this adventure that it's hard because I know that not everybody loves the Word of God. But that is the thing of a teacher. You know that? A teacher will teach you this, and everyone else can just handle this. So I have to weigh it out. But my favorite is expository teaching because the verses are right there. You just stay right there. You don't have to go. So I'm about ready to take you on an adventure. There are 29 verses. It seems like a lot, but that's what Dave goes on. We're going to have to do sword drill because I'm going to put the scriptures up there and we're going to go through them pretty quick. So if you're quick, fine. If not, you can get the scriptures. I've written some of the scriptures in the bulletin, but most of them are not in there. And Father, I do pray that the Word of God that we're about ready to read, Lord, we don't take for granted the Word of God. Lord, bring alive to us your Word. We thank you for your Word in Jesus' name. Okay, and I'm going to do this PowerPoint. I want to see if it's going to work. It is going to work. Don't you love when things work? I love when things work. So, Ephesians, that's my life book. I don't know if you know it, but everyone has a life book, something that you're drawn to over and over and over. And Ephesians, my life book, it uses the word walk like 17 times. It says, you once walked this way, now you're called to walk over here. I was the most orneriest person, raised in San Francisco, fought, wasn't frightened of anybody. We were raised around Hell's Angels. I was more frightened of, let's see, doctors, principals, people of authority, more than a Hell's Angel. I really was, you know, because I could fight. My whole family can fight. I have one sister who's not a fighter. So I don't have fear that way. But when Christ touched my heart, he took away the fear. I've not fought. You know what I fight now? Principalities and powers in high places, and I hate them. I call him a pig. He's a pig. That's who I fight, and that's who we're called to fight. We're not called to fight one another at all. We're not called to fight the world. We're called to fight principalities and powers in high places. So, Ephesians, this is so good, that he would grant you, who? You, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit, where? In your inner man. That's your spirit, in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell, there's another may I didn't underline, in your hearts through faith. Because if you haven't asked Christ into your heart, then it hasn't happened. This isn't happening to you. First step, you have to ask Jesus into your heart. Dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, okay, now it's not working, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the height, the depth, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. So many times we're all about knowledge. You know, let's fill up our head. Let's go to this class. Let's learn more. But if we don't put out, then it's just knowledge. In order for it to be the full gospel, we have to take it in and act on it. So that you may be filled up. Filled up? How many feel empty? If you're not filled up, it's because the Holy Spirit, you're not letting him fill you up. Filled up with all the fullness of God. There's another word. I call them rhema words. Words to me, when I'm reading the word and they pop off the page, Greeks call it a rhema word. And it just happened again, right there. All the fullness of God. So when you have the Holy Spirit, you have all of God in you? No, you don't have all of God. You do have a little part of you. I heard this one illustration years ago. If you take this bottle and you fill it where the guys are at, the ocean, fill this up. Do you have all the ocean? You don't, but you have part of the ocean. God has filled us up with his spirit. We don't have all of God, but we do have his spirit. Now to him, I love this scripture. I have it in red because it's great. You know, I never did in regular English class because I was so radical. I never did high school, really. I never did school. In fact, they graduated me early just to get me out of there. So I never had a real English class. I was in something called Words and Numbers. So all my classes had to do with shop, hands-on things. So I never really got to learn punctuation. But when you read this, I don't know much about English, but I'm telling you, what's an action word, or adverb, or whatever you call it? Verbs. They're loaded here, because Paul could have used just one of these words, but he didn't. Now, him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within who? Us. Not Billy Graham, but in us. In us. How awesome is that? So, abundantly, remember that word. Abundantly means an abundance. More than enough. an abundance. So we're supposed to be walking abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power. So this is not happening at all in us as individuals or the church corporately if we're not walking in the power that the Holy Spirit has given us. Period. It's not happening. There's a sign that Terry had on the board, reader board, and it grieved my heart because my heart is all about them out there. I'm called to minister to the people that are out of this place, outside. I love those that are in the church, but my real call, and someday I'm going to be walking in it, is I'm called to be an evangelist, moving around the state, ministering to people. But the sign said something to the effect of, what did it say, Terry? The true gospel is seen, the real proof of a living, of a risen Christ is a living Christian. Okay, the world looks at that and says, fat chance. Yeah, show me a couple that are really, really, really walking it. I do remember one day when Dave said, God, show me one. Because he was having, when I got saved, I got radically saved, and I was like over here, and I came over here, and I don't want nothing to do with over here. But Dave was having a hard time because he couldn't see anyone walking it. He asked God for one person. I remember him saying, there ain't nobody out there who's really walking it. And God gave him that one person. The guy has spoken here. He is a true disciple of Christ. And it's wonderful to watch the power of the Holy Spirit in that man because he is a submitted, anointed believer. Let's see if this works. I have to point it this way. 1 Corinthians. So all of that we're supposed to appropriate. Now God gave us the power, so all we're supposed to do is appropriate. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. My message and my preaching were not in persuasive. This is Paul. My message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So it is the demonstration of the Spirit. Not only are we supposed to, as Christians, be proclaiming the gospel, it's supposed to be in demonstration of power. Throughout the word, and I could have given you the whole word, or we would be here for hours. But throughout the word, it's about not only the proclamation of the gospel, but it is about the demonstration of the power within us. And if we're not, if our family's not seeing it, if our neighbors aren't seeing it, if our workplace is not seeing it, and how many times people go, wow, I didn't know you were a Christian. Shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Did I move it? No, it didn't move. How come it's not moving? There. John 10:10. Okay, that's what we're called to do, to proclaim the gospel and to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. But the world, ourself, our soul, the enemy, spiritual darkness, comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He comes to steal our hopes. He comes to kill our relationship with people, and he comes to destroy your call, period. He's there, and he's after you, and he's on your heels. In fact, the closer you get to your call, he's really on your heels. So you might say, well, then I don't want my call. No, because you'll never be fulfilled without your destiny, without your call. Without it, we are dying. We're dying. And then we go, what happened with my life? What happened with my life? And then 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. I should put it up faster if I can only think. You know, the older you get, you're not as quite a good multitasker as you used to be. Isn't that true? And when I was young, I could do all kinds of multitasking, but no more. It just doesn't, so I need to be able to put that up there. Okay. And he said to me, it's in red, not because I liked it, but I do like it, but it's because it's Jesus speaking. My grace is significant for you, for the power is perfected where? In weakness. Most gladly there I rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. That's Paul speaking. But it's the same thing, the power within us. We have power to do amazing things. And if this little church, 12 men got it, 11 men got it, and then it multiplied. If people in this church would get it, we'd change this town. We'd change our world. Hallelujah. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties. We hate those difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. But it has to do with the power that dwells in me. If you're walking in your body or your soul, that won't happen. You can't see that. It won't happen. I have astigmatism. So anytime I take my eyes away from something, I can't find where I'm at. You know, God keeps on saying you don't need notes. Someday I'm going to do that. But in order to do that, I have to highlight things so I can find my place back. I have a huge amount of weaknesses. But it can't stop us. Any of your weaknesses. I remember meeting personally Johnny Erickson Tata. We got to talk with her. We were at a big convention. And somehow we just ended up talking with her. She took her picture with us. And it was really wonderful. And if you don't know who she is, she's a woman that went diving when she was a teenager, broke her neck, and amazing woman of God. And what she was speaking on that night is that we're all handicapped. Every single one of us are handicapped in one way. And it's true, because God wants us to take our weaknesses so that we, when we're weak, then he is made strong. When we're weak, he is made strong. But that doesn't, excuse me, I have to do this, instantly happen. It doesn't. It doesn't instantly happen. We have to buffet our body and our soul and say, you will not rule me. You will not have control over me. I wasn't going to say this last time, but I'm going to say it this time because I don't see a lot of small children. Shut up. You tell it to shut up. I'm not supposed to be listening to you. I'm supposed to be listening to you, my spirit. And my spirit is connected with the Holy Spirit of God. And he is powerful. And when we listen to the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, we're powerful. We can do things that are amazing. Amazing. Other thing, I'm going to put up the next one. The other thing is that the church, I think for like 500 years, as I've done studies, I've often wondered, when did the church quit being the church? I'm not judgmental. I just accurately am seeing what's taken place. So the church is used to hearing the gospel. When we first came here, God said he's doing a new thing. And the new thing was the old thing. Never heard it, never heard it before. But that's what he said. So the old thing is that the gospel was not just heard, it was seen. So if the world doesn't see the gospel in us, it's really not the gospel. It's an Elks Club. It's a gathering of people with similar beliefs. And we theologically can believe and say, yeah, I believe that. And I'm going to talk about the word believe in a little while. I believe that. But when we walk out the door, do we really believe it? Or do we believe it in theology only? Do we believe it in practice? So the gospel was not supposed to just be proclaimed and heard. It's supposed to be seen, actually seen. Let's go to Romans 6:11. So even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to Jesus Christ. So back to your soul, you're supposed to say, that's dead. In fact, this is the old Josephine. That's my name. She's dead. You know, she tries to come up sometimes. But I say, You don't have control over me. Josephine's dead. Josephine is dead. And that's what... dead to sin, but alive to God. Romans 7:22-23. Let me make sure that... before I read that, I wanted to share that there are two areas that I'm covering today, and I have a half an hour to do it in. One is the power of the Holy Spirit. And I heard this analogy years ago, and it was about, and I don't even know if anyone listens to AM. Does anyone listen to AM nowadays? You do? You still listen to AM? Well, I don't know how it really works. All I know is that there are frequencies somehow that come in, and it's our decision what's, if we're going to listen to AM or are we going to listen to FM. So you have a little dial. Well, I love the illustration because we have a dial in us. Are we going to listen to this and say this is AM? Are we going to listen to this or are we going to listen to FM? So it's up to us which, what do we dial up to? What is the station we're going to dial up to? Now let's go to 7:22-23. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. Some versions say the new law. But that's the law. It's the law of the inner man. If you've never heard of it, it's the Holy Spirit that dwells in us to give us power to walk in power. But I see a different law in my members of my body waging war against my mind. Notice the mind. And making me a prisoner of the law of sin in my members. And again, it's showing that we have to decide which is going to... are we going to listen to the Spirit or are we going to listen to our mind? The Spirit is the inner man. Open Bible, and this is the denomination we are affiliated with. It is a Pentecostal movement. And so many times people don't understand what the Holy Spirit is. And there was times where I didn't understand what the Holy Spirit is. But the Holy Spirit is very powerful. If you call and you ask the Lord to fill you up with His Spirit, He will fill you up in a wonderful new way. A new way. And you don't have to be around anybody else. You can do it all by yourself and say, Lord, refill me up. Touch me by your Spirit. I said I was going to do it, and I didn't do it. This one is a long one. Romans 8:5-12. For those who walk according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now, isn't that true? The enticement of the world? I mean, everything entices our flesh. But Jesus told us how to walk in an enticing world. He taught us. But those who walk, who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is dead, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. How many want life, abundant life, and peace? Only one way. Can't get it through alcohol, did that. Can't get it through drugs, did that. Can't get it any other way. sorry. You know, there's things I'm black and white on, and that's a black and white thing. If you want abundant life, you do it God's way. Can't do it our way. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God. I pray in Jesus' name that as we're reading these, that it would burn in our spirits. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. What's the law of God? The Spirit. The Spirit man. The thing that dwells in us. For it is not even able to do so. And those who are according to the flesh, what? Cannot please God. That's hard. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God it dwells in you. If. So if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't got the deposit of the Holy Spirit. But if anyone, who? Does that mean when you had a horrible past like mine? No. Anyone. Anyone. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are not under obligation. Oh, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. So I will go to the next one. So we don't have to walk like that. I seen a show, and it was not a good show. But it just came to my mind. See, maybe when it comes to my mind, I shouldn't say it. It's Young Frankenstein. And the guy, Igor or something, would say, walk this way. But, right? He'd say, walk this way. Well, Jesus is saying, walk this way. Walk that way. Don't walk as the world walks. Don't be conformed to the things of the world. Walk as Jesus has called us to walk. Galatians 5:16-17. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So if you do this, if you do that, it won't happen. But you can feel, what's the word called? A struggle. Happening. You have a war going on you. That's why reading the word, fasting is very, very important. Staying plugged in with the Lord, staying plugged in with other believers, because that strengthens our inner man. That strengthens our spirit. Okay, Galatians. Oh, I didn't read this yet, did I? But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit, what? Against the flesh. It's warring. See it warring? For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. The things you please is this. The things God pleases is the Spirit. We're not called to do the things we want to do. In fact, I don't want to do the things I want to do. They get me in trouble. I pray in Jesus' name that you get there to where you don't want to do what you want to do. That's the whole point. Do what Jesus wants you to do. That's walking in the Spirit. That's true walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk in it. Walk this way. And I love Proverbs 23.
I always laugh when I say that, when I read this. Some people don't understand why I laugh, but I'll tell you why I laugh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs issues of life. I'm all about issues. Remember Dave told you about our box of issues, marital issues? I'm all about issues. So out of our heart can spring issues of life. I know when I'm doing this. I know it. You know when you're doing this. You know it. So we are to watch our heart, because if we let things root in our mind and in our heart, then we're in bondage. And then we go, how did I get here? Well, how you got there is you listened to the wrong part. You're not walking in the Spirit. So issues of life. We've all got those issues. Ephesians, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Oh, I just went too fast. I went fast. I'm still on at... I got a new... what's it called? Droid 4. I was so tempted. I just got it Friday. Was it, no. Thursday morning? Thursday morning. You know, you can go all over the place with these things and do some wonderful things. I was so tempted all the last 3 days just to focus on programming my new phone. But I had to fight, literally fight. And then I had the service here yesterday, being here at 8 in the morning and turning on the heat. So I was getting distracted, called to the church, and I'm going, Lord, I'm supposed to be focusing, but yet I've got my phone. I'm just having this struggle in between of wanting to do what's right. I knew if I put my time alone with the Lord, he'd pour out, because I just gave him my time. But I struggled with it. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to have a veg day and do what I pleased. But we're not supposed to do what we please. My call is to preach the word. What's your call? Whatever your call is, do it. Whatever it is. So, I was going to explain floating. Floating. Dave could not float for the longest time. It was kind of funny. He just... Even when we were young and married, and he was like 145 pounds, he just never could float. And even as he got older and more weight to him, he just couldn't float. And I just would explain, you just got to give into the water. You just got to lay back and relax, give into the water. The water, I'm not doing the work. I can float for hours. You're just floating. That's what our walk is. If we give into the Spirit, and if we just float with him, the work's done. It's when we walk here, we can't really float. It's not the same. So learn to be able to give in to the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now I'm at the second part almost. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. If you end up doing what your soul wants to do and what you think and what you please, the Holy Spirit's grieved. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed in the day of redemption. And then in Acts 7:51, you men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your father did. So we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, then there's no power in the church. There's no power in us. We have a lot of knowledge. The word says forever learning. See if this is not the church, but it's not going to be the church now. Because God, remember, he's shaking or he's stirring. Either you're going to let him shake you or you're going to let him stir you. And that's happening all over the world. All over the world. He's stirring. So it's not going to be that way for long. But the Holy Spirit is I forgot where my train of thought was going with that. Can anybody catch me up? I went off. I do that all the time. I'll just go to the next scripture and it will come back to me. Okay, the second word, I've got 15 minutes. The second part that I wanted to share with you besides this was the word believe. I'm going to say 4 years ago, I got in like a 12-hour study of the word believe. I just love to study words. It was just so wonderful. The English language has one word for the word believe. The Greeks, it's like 12 words for the word believe. It's pistos for the word for believe in the Greek. But they have many words for believe. One's believe in your heart. This is a totally different word, believe, here for them. We have one word for believe. So you have a believe in your head. Now, what the church does is the scripture in Romans, you in-state students, Romans 10, I don't know what, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. Correct? So I could ask a Christian, do you believe? Yes. Well, what the Lord gave me a rhema word of, and it was good. It was good. Was it's not just believe, but it's believing. We're believing. It's actively going on. You didn't once believe when 40 years ago when you accepted Christ. But the word believing, as I recently redug in, it was after I spoke 2 weeks ago, and the scripture that I prayed over you guys had the word believing in it. And I thought, wow, I want to go back and study that. And sure enough, totally different word. Totally different word. What happened to the thing? Oh, did I push the button? Okay, I don't know any of these buttons. Good. Thank you, Lord. You know, on the computer where the little thing goes that way, I call that my forgiveness button. You know where the little arrow goes that way? You know, you mess up really bad. Forgiveness button. God's got it too. He's thought of everything. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? Believing. So that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit in us doesn't happen if we're not believing. It's not believe. I once believed, and I'm staying the same for 40 years. But it's I'm believing. It's a whole new word, you guys. And if I had hours, I'd tell you all about that one little word. It's an amazing little word. John 20, 31. These things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. So if you're not actively believing his word, him, and walking in the Spirit, you don't have life. The word believing, to break it down, really means remaining steadfast. So it's not the thing that we're walking in the Spirit and then boom, we let the enemy get a hold of us. And then what happens? Condemnation happens. The enemy starts beating you up. You call yourself a Christian. Look what you did. But no, we walk in the Spirit. The enemy comes to bring enticement and we tell him to shut up. And we keep on walking in the Spirit. It's possible for us to walk a godly, powerful life. And those that are going to be propelled by the Holy Spirit are going to get this. Those that aren't are going to keep on cycling. I already read that. This is so weird. Oops. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God of Father,
the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So he's given us everything we need, but we don't believe him. We don't believe his word. If we believed him, we'd believe that. He's given us everything we need. But the world says you need more. Are we going to believe the world, or are we going to believe the Lord? Think about your life. He's given you everything you need. Everything. If you've been walking like this. If you haven't been walking like this. I always think of that song. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming around the mountain. It does. You're cycling. You have to say, oh, I thought of that not too long ago. I asked if people in Oregon have the little pull things on the buses. You know, you pull. Yeah. So if you're cycling, pull and say, I want to get off now. I want to get off. I want to walk like this. I don't want to walk in my soul. But Satan says, no, you can't be happy, because that word blessed, there's another word, great study. The word blessed translates to our language as happy. Happy. And if people would really know, God's given us every spiritual blessing that we ever need, but our mind is so, got so much conflict going on it, that we have a hard time focusing on what the Spirit is saying. The Spirit says, wait on me. You have everything that you have need of today. Everything. So are we going to believe in spiritual darkness or believe in God? I wrote down two choices. We have two choices. And the way I like to explain that, do you know there's nothing new under the sun? The book of Ephesians says there's nothing new under the sun. Do you know we sit in the same place where Adam and Eve sat? They had the tree of life. They had the tree of life. And they had the tree of good and evil. We have to be able to say, I want to listen to the Spirit. And if we listen to the Spirit, we have power. Romans, oh, did I already do that? Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed, this is Paul, ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That's the one that I was doing with everyone who believes. It's for everyone. For it is right, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, but the righteous man shall live by faith. So are we supposed to live by our experience? Are we supposed to live by faith? You know, there was this one woman that I knew, been raised in the church her whole life. And she said, gee, I wish I had a good testimony like you do. And I said, wait a minute, Leanne. I think the best testimony in the world is that you've been walking with Christ your whole life. You've not gone off and done horrible things. The world would say, no, you need to be able to experience and then decide for yourself. No, we're supposed to be innocent as doves and not even looking at the evil things. So don't, you that are young in this room, stay with the Lord. The whole thing is about, if you walk in the ways of the world, one day you wake up and you go, wow, I'm trapped like a person I seen when I was growing up. So don't be that person. And then the power of the Holy Spirit comes out of us. And then in the center of all of this is God's grace. And that's another thing that the Church Universal takes for granted. We say, okay, I'm going to go do this Friday night. And God weighs our measures our motives. He really measures our motives. If we say, God, you're a forgiving God,
And I know if I do this, you're going to forgive me. That's taking for granted God's grace. Some people call it sloppy agape. And we can't do that. We can't take for granted God's grace. So, did I have another scripture? I think I do. Oh, here's the word. So, are we going to believe God? Or are we going to believe His word? We just went through a lot of scripture. You have a chance to walk out of here and either believe God and His word, not me, or you're not. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is piercing and as far as the division of the soul and the spirit. So when you're reading the word, it divides this. When you're reading the word and you're feeling conviction, go with it. It's not condemnation. It's conviction. It's the Holy Spirit. Give into it. Float with it. Let Him operate on you. Because that's what He wants to do. He wants to operate on you. Let the word have His way in your life. Because it's surgery. That's the two-edged sword. It goes in, cuts us open. I have been cut open so deep. Let it cut you open. And then let all the crud come out. But you have to be in the word. You can't just depend on Sunday morning. Sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight. But how many things? All things are opened and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Not one thing that we do, that we look at, that we say, that we hear, that we touch, is not laid bare before the eyes of God. Not one thing. So I say all of that so that we would walk in power. Because there's a vision God's given this church. And in order to catch the vision, you've got to capture the heart of God. What is He saying? The heart of God is saying, do what's right. Listen to what He's saying. Our Christian walk is not hard. This struggle is hard. But once you discipline it, it's amazing. It lines right up. It's amazing. But first, you've got to practice it. The word practice is used a lot. So, in closing, I'm going to just pray that the Holy Spirit would direct you in three areas. What area should you walk in the Spirit? And I said should. What area should you be walking in the Spirit? And I pray that the Holy Spirit, as I've been speaking, has been putting something on your mind. And all you have to do is partner with God and say, I agree with you. I see it. I agree with you. And that's when He does His work. Because He's already done everything. You know that? God's done everything. He's not going to do any more. He's already done everything. It's us who have to appropriate what God's given us. Second thing, what area should you be believing God? If you've been wrestling with believing God, believing the world, believing the word, believing the world, what should you be believing God and the word? And then the third place is the releasing of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that only comes as we give into it, the floating. Doesn't come any other way, because He's not going to do it to you. That's not the Christian walk. He doesn't do it to you. That's the mystery. The power within us. That's the whole mystery of what He's given us that is so beautiful and that is so powerful. So, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would give us the areas that we need to submit to you. Lord, touch our spirits, touch our souls, Lord, touch our minds. Lord, that we would not walk in our body's will, that we would not walk as our soul, our mind, will, and emotions walks. But Father, we pray for power, Lord, that living streams would flow out of our spirits because we're walking your way, not the way of the world. Lord, we know that our salvation is free, but Lord, your anointing and your power comes by a price. Lord, teach us that price. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us all that we need. You are awesome. You are awesome. Father, rest on us right now by your Spirit. By your Spirit. And Lord, who do we need to believe? Lord, that you would fix on our minds what we need to believe. Lord, the words that we've read today, Lord, that our eyes of our understanding would be open in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Open them up right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that comes to bring us your comfort, your wisdom, your power. Release in us your power in Jesus' name. Release in us your power. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your resting on us. Fill us full with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, right on time. I'm telling you, as soon as you walk out the door,
this is only a test. This is only a test because the enemy, as soon as you walk out that door,